Does the devil watch me sleep like Santa Claus and Jesus can? Do flea markets really sell fleas? All these questions you can find the answer to on This Paranormal Life! Hello everyone and welcome to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week we investigate a brand new case, claim, beast, creature, tale, story, ghost, poltergeist,
whoa,
and come to a conclusion at the end as to whether or not that thing, that story, really is true or really is false. My name is Roy Powers, professional paranormal investigator, and I'm joined, of course, by my paranormal pal, Kit Greer.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Rory, how exciting. You know, sometimes I forget that people tuning in, listening to This Paranormal Life, this might actually be their first episode. This might be the first episode they listen to. Some people have been listening for years. But if you haven't been here before...
jog on!
No. Yeah. No, we need to be very...
We didn't need you at the start and we don't need you now.
We just kind of...
F*** off!
Right. Bad attitude, because we are trying to grow the listeners and grow the podcast always. So, you know, I want to be welcoming and I want to, like, we don't want to have too many in-jokes that go over their heads. We don't want to have too much stuff that's not explained. So,
sure,
in the interest of saying hello, welcome to the show. The job of a paranormal investigator like me and Rory, we investigate the paranormal.
I think that's kind of goes without covered, yeah.
And the paranormal, that is ghosts, as Rory said. That is ghouls.
Again, I think this is stuff that probably they do know about, even if they haven't listened to the podcast.
But like, okay, so a podcast.
This is unnecessary.
A weekly, not always weekly, 60 minute, not always, but sometimes. And sometimes a little over, sometimes a little under.
You keep being really specific and then having to correct yourself because you were way too specific. So let's just,
I think
move forward. I think a lot of people know probably what a ghost is if they have done a podcast.
Well, now you mentioned it, we should probably explain that too. So
we
when someone dies, when they love each other, when two people love each other very much and they die, they come back as kind of see-through. If you've ever seen Casper, well, it's not exactly like Casper.
Okay, we need to stop this. Babies made? I don't know that one yet.
I'll go back to letting you host.
No, I'm so excited to be here and hosting a brand new episode of This Paranormal Life. Kit, we were supposed to record this episode yesterday, but your flight to London was delayed, so we ended up having to push it back a day.
Yeah, the MIBs were trying to keep me away from the microphone.
All I'm going to say is thank God in heaven that your flight was delayed, because yesterday... huh? I was maybe the most hungover I have been in years. It was bad.
Which is saying a lot.
Oh my God.
Because Rory saying that is like Michael Jordan saying, that's the best dunk I've done in years.
That was a really hard game of basketball. He's played quite a few hard games of basketball. So for him to even mention that one was difficult, it means it was a very hard game. So it was a blessing that we didn't have to come in and record a podcast, because it would have been awful.
Rory survived a Jack Daniels-shaped IED in the war zones of East London.
But hey, I bounced back. I'm feeling great today. I got a big cup of coffee and I'm ready to dive into a fresh paranormal story.
What you got for me?
Let me find out.
I'm not as ready as I thought I was to be getting lost. I'm worried that you've abandoned your iPad. Rory has been reading off an iPad up until this point. Now he seems to be dialing a number or something.
For your information, Kit, I'm trying to figure out which one of our listeners submitted this so I can give them thanks, because I actually care about our listeners.
Yeah, you never do that, by the way. This is completely out of character to remember to shout someone out.
I can't find it either, so you ain't getting shit. Andrew Gorham, he is at least one person who suggested this. I think they've suggested cases before, so thank you for sending in this recommendation. Kit, today we're going to be investigating not a paranormal cryptid, not a ghost or a poltergeist necessarily. We're investigating a real physical thing here that has been potentially possessed by an evil spirit.
Well, you say it's real and physical. I think that's done for me to decide. I'll see about that.
But before we dive into today's case, how about a quick word from today's sponsors? And just a reminder that you can get new episodes of This Paranormal Life ad-free over on patreon.com.
Ooh.
Okay, Kit, it's 1971 in North America, and a middle-aged woman is wandering through an antique store trying to choose a gift for her daughter, Donna. Now, Donna was a student nurse who was just about to start school, so whatever the present was, it was gonna have to be a special one. There's a lot of fantastic options at the antique store, but one in particular stands out. a vintage secondhand Raggedy Ann doll.
Vintage, secondhand, and raggedy? I think you better keep looking, because let me tell you something. People like new shit. I don't care if this was 1971, get her an iPad. All right?
I will say, before you go down this path too much, Raggedy Ann is the brand of the doll. It's not a Raggedy Ann doll.
Get her a fresh Ann, a new Ann. Don't get her a Raggedy Ann.
The fresh Ann is raggedy. That's how it comes. So she buys it for Donna and drives it over to her daughter's new apartment.
Just to be clear, this daughter is too old for dolls.
Way too old. I think she's starting nursing school.
And she's going to university.
Yeah, she's a student nurse. So, again, hey, if that's what you're into, fine.
No,
some people might think I'm a little bit too old to have Beyblades. And to those people, I say,
let it rip.
What?
Let it rip, motherfucker.
Let it rip and watch your back.
Hey, we've all been there. Sometimes we act a little bit younger than our biological age says. You know, sometimes me and Cora get up in the morning and she wants to watch cartoons. So we put on Teletubbies. And sometimes after 9 or 10 minutes, Cora will wander off. But I'm still pretty engrossed in what Tinky Winky's getting up to.
Because right,
there's a storyline. And I honestly think they write that stuff for at least, I'm not saying I have the mental age of a 7-year-old, but it's actually pretty hard to follow the story sometimes. It's pretty complicated.
I just don't know where the tubby custard came from. I just don't know how it gets eaten or produced, and I want to find out more. So as I said, she bought the doll, drove it over to her daughter's apartment to deliver the gift. But this little f***er was more than just a doll kit. She might as well have been delivering her daughter Tutankhamun's mummified corpse.
Whoa.
Because this Raggedy Ann came with some consequences. Now, Donna's mother delivered the gift, and just as she thought, Donna loved it. She's beautiful. Thank you, Mum. What should I call her? Anne? No, that's too plain. What about Anna? Ooh, or Annabelle. At this point, Annabelle becomes a permanent guest at the apartment, joining Donna and her roommate Angie. It's a cute little vintage item to have around the flat, and guests come and ask questions about it. But it wasn't long before Annabelle had overstayed her welcome. One day, Donna came home to find the doll sprawled out on the hallway floor. Angie? What's Annabelle doing on the floor?
Last I saw, it was on the chair in the hall. It must have slipped off.
Donna dusts Annabelle off and rests her carefully back on the chair, this time placing her all the way to the back so she won't fall on the floor again. Then she went to her room to get in her comfy clothes. It was a crazy day. I've been rushed off my feet. What were you thinking about cooking for dinner? Because I thought that... When Donna walked back into the hallway, the doll was back on the floor. How could this be? She just put her back on the chair a few minutes ago. Kit, we've been here before.
We have.
We've seen this happen. We've seen dolls or inanimate objects come to
classic
life.
Classic dickhead roommate. She's a liar.
You think there's some gaslighting going on here?
Sorry, I might be getting off track. You're saying this isn't a problematic roommate situation.
It looks like this little fucker is moving about by itself. Now, I have a very low tolerance for items being cursed.
Yeah.
If I so much as thought that I'd put my MacBook Pro to sleep the night before and I wake up and the screen is powered on, I'm smashing it with a hammer.
Yeah.
It's destroyed. I have zero tolerance for items being possessed in my household.
If I use the last of a tube of toothpaste,
yeah,
and then I wake up the next day, and there actually is a tiny, tiny amount that you can just about squeeze out.
Just a tiny drop.
I'm smashing the bathroom to bits with a sledgehammer because something happened there.
Yeah,
I thought the toothpaste was done. It is not done. That's paranormal.
And this is what we're seeing here. We're seeing a doll seeming like it's moving about by itself.
No, you're completely right, though. Anytime we've talked about potentially cursed, potentially paranormal items, artifacts, we are begging the people in the story to lob them out of a fifth-story window as soon as possible.
I once had dinner at Kit's cousin's house, and they said, would you like a biscuit with your tea? I think there's one left in the packet. There were two in the packet. I burned that place to the ground. I didn't even say a fucking word. I just poured the gasoline on the floor. Yes, I brought my own gasoline and lit the match.
One time I went to a showing of Ant-Man at the local cinema. They said it was starting at 6:30. There was actually 8 minutes of ads and it started at 6:38. I killed the guy who sold me the ticket. I straight up killed him. Because
you just have to, yeah.
He's cursed.
Yeah, something's going on there.
The whole thing was cursed.
So Donna decided to take the doll up to her room and put it down gently on the bed, dead center of the bed. After dinner, Donna went to the living room to watch TV, but her seat was taken.
God, no!
That's right. Annabelle was back downstairs, this time sitting on the sofa. Now, obviously being the logical nurse that she is, Donna suspects that she's simply being pranked by her roommate, so she doesn't give it any more thought. But that night, Donna awoke to the sound of footsteps in the hallway. Was it her roommate Angie, back from a late night shift? Suddenly, she heard a blood-curdling scream. Donna ran out into the hallway to see her roommate panting and clutching her chest. In front of her in the hallway was Annabelle. Angie, what's wrong?
What the hell is wrong with you?
Angie cried.
Why would you put this outside my room? It scared the life out of me.
I didn't. Why did you put the doll on the sofa last night? Angie looked confused. Both girls claimed that neither of them had been moving the doll. From this night onward, things get progressively stranger. The doll starts moving around every day by itself. We're talking Toy Story levels of sentience here.
Jesus.
Donna and Angie eventually invite their friend Lou over to take a look at the doll. Maybe they're overreacting. Maybe the doll isn't really cursed.
They're not overreacting. They're underreacting.
As soon as Lou arrives into the house, he can feel something is wrong. In fact, almost as soon as he sees the doll, he starts telling them they have to get rid of it.
A man after my own heart.
Despite Lou insisting that they get rid of the doll immediately, Donna holds on to it. So what if now and again it seems to come to life? It's not hurting anybody.
Hey, this is the problem with gifts from friends and family.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how shitty the gift is, it's automatically sentimental.
Right.
My parents could gift me a tropical disease in a jar and I would have to cherish it because it's from my parents. And this is kind of the cul-de-sac that Donna finds herself in.
Yeah, that Christmas morning you were like, oh, it's that malaria. Thank you. I guess, I'm just going to put this over here. Aren't you going to open it up? No, I don't think I should, Dad. Well, your mother and I put a lot of money into that. Yeah,
yeah, it took me 9 months to get over the dengue fever I got last year for my birthday.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I've been given some very ridiculous gifts from my family over the years, and it does just become sentimental. I remember my mom for Christmas a few years ago gave me a DVD that teaches you how to street dance.
She wanted you to be a B-boy.
This is not a joke.
My
she
parents
gave it to
wanted me to be a fucking lawyer. Your mom was like, I really think our dog has a ring to it.
It was a DVD. This was not even long ago, by the way. It was a few years. We don't even have a DVD player in the house. And I got a DVD. It was an instructional video called, I think it was literally called Fat Moves, spelled P-H-A-T.
Of course.
And Street Dance Grooves.
Fat Moves, P-H-A-T, for fat boys, F-A-T.
Spelled the regular way. Yeah, the second one was just a regular one. Yeah, it was more of a workout DVD. I was quite large at the time, and yes, this is my parents trying to give me a subtle hint.
They thought that you were a nerd, I think. You were playing too many video games. They wanted you to meet some girls through the medium of dance.
Yeah, that would make sense, because the other gift was a prostitute. So I think they obviously thought I was nerdy and sheltered, and they were like, you need to learn how to dance and have sex with a woman.
Rory, this is Crystal. Rory, this is Crystal. And she'd love to see some of your new moves. Why don't you show Crystal your new moves? Not sexual moves. That's for later. It's the dance moves. So f***ed up, mom and dad.
Christmas dinner that evening, we're all just like sitting around, the whole family and Crystal. So should we go around and say what we're thankful for? Crystal's just chain smoking at the end of the table. Pass the ham. Of course, darling.
You know, I'm about to tick over into 4 hours.
Your mom and dad are like, Rory's not going to take long. Don't worry. Mom!
Don't tell her. And to this day, I still have the Fat Moves Street Dance Grooves DVD, and I still keep in touch with Crystal because they're sentimental gifts.
This is it.
As I said, despite Lou insisting they get rid of the doll, they didn't. Donna held on to it. And while it wasn't hurting anyone at the time, as we know, these paranormal stories can escalate very quickly. Donna began to find notes.
Why? No.
Written all over her home.
This is not okay.
The notes said, help. Help us.
What does that mean?
And help Lou.
We need some more details on what these notes look like. I have to know.
I don't know if there are any pictures of the notes.
Because
the
in theory, if you were, because I like that you're just dancing around the fact that the doll wrote the notes.
Sure.
Right?
Oh yeah, big time.
So in theory, they should be, the letters should be really small because the doll's really small. It should be like really small handwriting.
Right, yeah. Like maybe some backwards letters because it's kind of cute, like kid writing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, help me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it it was blood. It was scrawled in blood. It was 20 feet tall. Took up most of the side of the house. It was enormous.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I think these are just small handwritten notes. Not sure where they're coming from.
Call Lou. Call Lou right now because I'm starting to think Lou... I think Lou might be 6 foot under. I don't know what Annabelle did last night, but I think Lou might be 6 foot under.
It does say, yeah, one of the notes is help Lou, who was their friend who came to help them look at the doll.
And last thing I remember, Lou said they needed to get rid of Annabelle, which Annabelle probably didn't take too kindly to.
Yeah. If anything, I think this is maybe a sign we maybe just let Annabelle stay. We just maybe let Annabelle do whatever she wants. Because you don't want to be the next person that needs help when the notes start appearing again.
You know, sometimes you just got to pay the protection money and understand that the world's a corrupt place.
And the doll hasn't stopped moving, by the way. At this point, the doll is basically teleporting around the house.
The doll got a hold of Fat Street Moves Volume 3.
Popping and locking, breakdancing, moonwalking. Yeah, it is. This thing is alive now, fully alive. It's moving around so frequently that Donna and Angie barely even take notice anymore. That is, until one evening. Donna returned home and was surprised to find Annabelle, where she left her, sitting comfortably on the bed. But something's different. There's something on the doll's hands. When Angie moves
Please don't
in,
be blood.
When Angie moves in for a closer inspection, she can't believe what she's seeing. It's blood.
It's blood. Oh, God.
It was blood, 100%.
Does anyone know where Lou is? Has anyone seen Lou in days? We have all the evidence we need to put Annabelle behind fucking bars.
She searched around the house and couldn't find where the blood had come from. There were no drops on the bed or stains on the sheets. It looked as if the blood was coming from the doll.
We are so, so, so deeply far beyond the point at which Donna should have just put her in the microwave. I don't know. Do something.
Yeah.
I thought you. How are you supposed to go to university, Donna? How are you supposed to focus on your in your day to day life if you tolerate the chaos that this doll has brought to your life?
If I have a medical issue and I need to go to the doctor to have some sort of procedure done upon me, I don't want the nurse to come into the room and be like, sorry, I'm late. Sorry, I was just up late because this f***ing doll that I have is just
I'm bleeding
kind of,
out over here.
It's like, yeah, can I just get some stitches though? Because the side of my head is kind of, yeah. Actually, the doll is bleeding as well. Did I mention that? The doll? Did I mention the doll that I have in
can
my
I
house?
Can I get a different nurse?
Yeah, I want my nurse to be well-rested, mentally fine. If they do have a doll, for it to be unalive. And if it is alive, I'd like them to be able to deal with the problem.
And I know I said all that shit about gifts being sentimental. I think Mum will understand.
I think
you let her in on what's going on since the doll turned up. She'll be like, that's cool. I'll get you an iTunes voucher.
Yeah,
like, it's
we can replace the doll. We can do a different thing. I'm not pissed that you threw it in a bin because it killed Lou. So it obviously did, right? We don't need to dance around it. Well, here's the good thing. If this blood is coming from the doll, does that mean the doll can die?
Right. If it bleeds, we can kill it, kind of logic.
Exactly. Donna and Angie realize that they're going to need some outside help. So they call a medium to investigate the doll and try and figure out just what in the sweet f*** is going on. So a medium comes round to the house and performs a seance. The group gather round the table with their hands clasped, Annabelle on the table in the middle of them. And it isn't long before the medium begins to whisper secrets from the other side.
I see a child. a dead child on this very spot before this building stood here. And now the spirit of this child is... It's inside your doll!
Whoa, okay.
Right? We're seeing a classic explanation behind a haunted object, which is a lost soul that went through some traumatic experience on Earth, and now its consciousness or whatever unfinished grudges and hatred it holds in itself has now manifested inside of an inanimate object.
Got you. So this really arguably could have been anything. They just happened to have a creepy doll, which the girls paid attention to. But this, the spirit of the child, could have just as equally possessed a Game Boy Advance or a Slinky.
And
we might not have noticed.
That would have been chill. The Slinky would have been chill, because you can kind of, it's like, oh, where is he this time? He's at the top of the stairs and he's gone down them. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, that's fine with me. That's kind of fine. I don't even think Slinkies can bleed, you know? They're not really that threatening. If you wake up in the middle of the night and there's a Slinky on your bed, it's like, all right, get the f*** off me. You know, what are you going to do? Wrap yourself around my throat? Yeah, or trip me up while I'm trying to go down the stairs?
Now that I think about it, actually, the Slinky could be a problem.
But it kind of sucks that obviously this lost soul was like, okay, got to possess something, right?
Right.
Can't just float around here all the time. So I guess that toaster, maybe I could like burn their bread or something, or that carpet, man, it could be like kind of more shaggy than a shag carpet
could,
should
like,
be.
Static, could create static.
And then Donna's mom just comes in the front door. Donna, I got you this old, ancient, fucked up looking, creepy little piece of shit doll. And he's like, boom. I can't believe I almost went for the toaster. This one is perfect. Basically a little child body I can go back into now.
Yeah, so clearly there's supposed to be a direct parallel here that the child has obviously used the similar visage of this doll, has gone, okay, that's the right fit for me.
Yeah, absolutely nailed it. That's why you don't buy creepy shit for your house, because you're just buying vessels for paranormal creatures to inhabit. Now, you might think because Donna and Angie have now made a connection with this doll and heard its story, the spirit would be able to rest in peace. Absolutely not. Raggedy Ann started scratching people, scratching them with her mind. At one point, Louie, who is still alive, visits the house and gets so scratched up, he had to take his shirt off just to stop the fabric from hurting him.
Lou must be extremely down bad to still be coming around these girls' house at this point. He must have had no options whatsoever. He's like talking to his friends at the bar that night. It's like, yeah, I started seeing this chick, but damn, it's just, you know, like some chicks have got like a
complicated past or like an ex or something that you have to deal with.
Yeah, this is his friend finishing his thought. He's like, yeah, bro, it's like, you know, the last girl I was seeing, she'd been in a couple bad relationships. So, you know, there's kind of some trust issues going on. He's like, yeah, it's a little like that. It's a little like that.
Does she have an ex-partner who's still in the picture?
Oh, they're still in the picture.
They're
actually in her bed right now.
Oh, Jesus, that's complicated.
And they attacked me.
He scratches. Yeah, it's either that or Lou is going over there and he's like, they're just not interested at all. But he's like, oh, I'm getting scratched so hard, I got to take my shirt off. Oh, God. He's like flexing, do you think? Yeah, I've been working out a bit recently, so...
I don't know if that's going to leave a bruise. You want to take a look at it?
Well, this is where we're at now, Kit. Teleporting around the house? Fine. Bleeding all over the bed sheets? I guess that's okay, too. But scratching? That's where they drew the line. Because guess what? One up from scratching is biting. Or bashing in kneecaps with a little doll baseball bat. It all escalates from here.
Yeah, Annabelle is testing them.
But what are Donna and Angie going to do? They clearly can't beat Annabelle by themselves. They don't have the expertise.
They haven't tried. They have not tried.
They've tried nothing and they're all out of ideas. They need to bring in the big guns. Mm. Some people who have dealt with this before and know how to deal with it again. So, of course, they bring in America's most famous husband and wife ghost fighting duo, Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Whoa!
Now, this is where people might start to put together the pieces of this puzzle. This Raggedy Ann doll was the inspiration behind the Annabelle movie, which is a very famous horror movie in the Conjuring universe.
Love it. If Rory is the Michael Jordan of hangovers, Ed and Lorraine Warren are the MJ and Scottie Pippen of busting the paranormal.
It's true.
After Kit and Rory, of course.
If you don't know, we have talked about Ed and Lorraine Warren a lot before, but they're the real deal. They are paranormal investigators that have been involved in many, many investigations over the last 50 years, such as the Union Cemetery Electric Woman, the Enfield Poltergeist, and the Amityville Horror, which is, you know, I know we've got a lot of important cases under our belt as well.
Furbies,
the Donkey Lady. I kind of did a very...
Jeff the Mongoose.
Very early solo investigation into the Dublin Gorilla Man. Actually, maybe should... I need to email Ed and Lorraine about that because...
I don't think shitting yourself and having to go to 20 years of therapy counts as investigating anything.
They definitely should look into it. I think so. So these guys are the real deal. And believe it or not, this is actually one of the first cases that put them on the map.
Wow, interesting.
But what are they going to do to take down Annabelle once and for all? We are just about to find out after a quick word from today's sponsors.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, when we bottle up our emotions, it can start to affect us negatively. Sometimes it's important that we get stuff off our chest.
Tell me about it. I found a UFO in the forest, and now this thing is attached to my chest.
Jesus, that's an alien. Mm-hmm. All right, I was speaking metaphorically about dealing with emotions and talking about our feelings by using services like BetterHelp.
I don't need to talk about my feelings. This thing can read my mind.
Therapy can be a great way to set boundaries and become the best version of yourself. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You're saying they can get things off my chest, like Zonktar here?
Don't give it a name.
Maybe me and Zonktar can sign up for BetterHelp together.
Give it a shot, and whatever it is, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ParanormalLife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ParanormalLife. So Ed and Lorraine Warren show up to the house, bringing a priest along with them, which is a pretty strong indication of how seriously they are taking this thing. The priest began examining the doll while Donna caught everyone up to speed. So we had a medium here not long ago to examine it. That's how we found out it was the spirit of a little girl.
The priest dropped the doll. Is that what it told you? That it was a little girl?
Yes. That's what the medium said.
My dear, it lied to you. This doll is possessed by a demon.
He's possessed, I think.
Yeah, pretty cool demon as well. Pretty sexy guy. Everyone likes him down in hell.
This is a really cool thing that I don't know if we've ever had in a case before, but it makes so much sense. Why on earth do you trust the doll? Why on earth would you just be like, oh yeah, it says it was a little girl who had great hardships, and actually we should be pretty kind to her because she had a hard life, and the doll says actually it deserves the master bedroom, because it was actually, it's an angel. It says it's an angel, actually.
Because, I don't know if you know, but toddlers lie, and
yeah.
Demon toddlers lie more than anyone else.
You've got one, so you know more than anyone. At this point, Donna has had enough. It doesn't matter if the doll was a gift, she wants it out of the house. So the gang got to work. The priest whipped out the holy water, started dousing the entire building. And when he finished, the Warrens packed Annabelle into their car, finally taking the doll off of their hands forever.
That's a good service. Sometimes we've seen it in the past that people come in and, try to do a seance, try and cleanse the room with crystals or whatever. But they're like, put on these goggles to protect your eyes. We're going to f*** this place up with holy water.
Yeah.
And then we're going to remove the doll, the artifact, and drop it to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. Like, there is no getting out of this. This is 100% success rate.
Yeah, I kind of like this. It's less of a what they had before with the medium, which is like bringing someone in to talk to the doll, and more of like a paranormal moving company.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, hey.
It's very just meat and potatoes.
You got a problem. You got an object that's causing you grief. Us and Father Ryan are going to come. We're going to basically f***ing waterboard this thing with holy water. And then if you want, we'll take it away. We'll do a whole removal service. You can throw in a bunch of extras as well. It's like, if you want, Father Ryan will spend the night just to make sure everything's okay. We also do sage burning if you want to chuck that in. We also have a lot of paranormal shit. So if you want something to replace it, maybe something a little bit more cursed, maybe something a little bit less cursed, if you're in the mood for like an ancient scroll, or just maybe you don't like dolls. Maybe you want a race car that turns on in the middle of the night and drives around. We got all that shit, so just let us know.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, we're doing a winter package right now where Father Ryan will tell you some stories.
Yeah.
And kind of make a whole experience out of the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, kind of like no faff. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you only have to understand and try and make peace with these spirits if you're going to live with them.
Yeah.
If you have no plans on trying to coexist with this thing, it doesn't matter what the story is.
Yeah.
This little doll could be like, 100 years ago, I lived in this very... Don't give a shit. Dunk its head in holy water, electrocute it, cook it in the microwave. Yeah, it's done. It's burnt. It's gone.
This is
like anything else causing you problems? Yeah.
This is the kind of pragmatism we've been looking for all along.
I noticed there was a squirrel outside in the tree. We can shoot that if you want. Is it causing you problems?
It's a fixer, a paranormal fixer.
Yeah, it's like there's a bird that wakes us up in the morning. All right, anything else?
I don't think that was the right bird. I'll keep going all day.
Like, no, stop, please.
You make a good point, though. There's like a probably whole paranormal industry here. You know, here in the UK, we've got we buy any car.
Beep, beep.
Yeah. If you've got a car that, I don't know, you transported a dead body in, so it's all covered in blood, you can call We Buy Any Car. Beep, beep. And they will buy it for, granted, a small sum of money. But it's like, we will guarantee to take it off your hands.
I don't think if it's covered in blood. I think that's, you make it sound like they'll destroy evidence. I don't think that's what they're saying. They're saying they'll buy any car.
Well, you know, I've tried it and you haven't. So,
but they'll buy anything you say is a car. As long as you have signed a contract saying you thought it was a car, that dirty shovel or bloody rope, it's gone.
A bag of marked notes, very, very marked notes.
Gone, yeah.
But Ed and Lorraine Warren could do a kind of We Buy Any House. Beep, beep. Where you're like, my house is haunted. I can't handle this. I'm willing to sell it for below market value. And then a bit like a property flipper, Ed and Lorraine are like, we'll take it off your hands. We'll get rid of everything and then we'll sell it again.
Yeah. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a big thing in Japan, right? Is there's a name for specific houses where might not be haunted, but might be where horrible things have happened, either murders or suicides. And they're given this name. I'll look it up just so we have it on record. But basically, these houses that something horrible has happened in, you have special like real estate people who deal with getting rid of these houses.
Yeah.
And they're often at much cheaper rates than regular houses. Yeah, I believe it is. I believe the property is referred to as a jikobuken, or a haunted house, where apparently the previous occupant had died of unnatural causes.
Mm.
So common ways to get a property classified as a jikobuken includes suicide, murder, fire, or neglect. So big range there. Because my apartment has been neglected at points over the years, but I wouldn't go as far to say it's haunted.
I like that this works in Japan, because mm-hmm. as a kind of like deeply historically spiritual country with their Shinto beliefs, they're kind of maybe a bit more in tune with the auspice of a house, and that it wouldn't be auspicious potentially to move into somewhere that has this dark past. You try that shit in the Bay Area of North America, people will be like, I don't give a f***, give it to me. I'll kill the motherfucker myself with my bare hands if it gets me into this house. Here in London, there's no reducing a house price on the basis. So I don't care how f***ed up the murder-suicide was that happened inside. We will take it.
Would you live in a haunted house?
Like,
let's say there was some sort of horrific, murder-suicide that took place in the building. 50 years ago.
I'm definitely somewhat joking. I think it obviously plays a factor. But what I will say is there's a big difference between that like horrible event or murder or whatever taking place in like a 200-year-old house with creaky floorboards in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between that and the murder happening in, let's say, your modern flat in London, where you're not really going to think about it as much. It's not going to play in your mind as much.
Yeah, that's true. I think I would.
This is what I'm saying.
I think I probably would. It's one of these things where it's like, if I probably would live there for a while. I don't know if I would buy it and be like, this is going to be my family home.
Well, and
that I'll make a life here.
And this is the problem is like, of course, it's not even that the people buying it care. It's more that they're scared that other people will care, right?
Yeah.
Because that makes it a bad investment. It's like they're less scared of like, it's like, I don't think a ghost is going to attack me. I just think someone else will not buy it because someone died here.
Yeah, you don't want to just be kind of like sitting in your living room with like friends over playing Monopoly one night and you're like, fun fact, the whole family was slaughtered here brutally. Wasn't even that long ago.
Jordan, you go to Pasco, take 200. Sorry, why are you telling us this? I just want to be fun. Just a fun fact.
You know who didn't Pasco? The family that lived here. Their journey around the board was cut short pretty drastically. Oh, man. I love Monopoly. It's a real cutthroat game. You know what else is pretty cutthroat? The victims of the poor, innocent people who used to live in this house. It's like, all right, anyway, so you rolled a 6. That is Park Place and Hotels. Man, you guys are bleeding me dry. You know who else? Shut up! Stop talking about the murders!
Damn, Alice, like, you've got a lot of red on this board. You know what else had a lot of red? The floorboards of this building. Yeah, George, you know, it's funny you picked an iron to be your piece for this game because that was the murder weapon.
So as I said, the Warrens packed Annabelle into their car, finally taking the doll off of their hands. But while the wrath of Annabelle was now pulled from Donna and Angie, it already found its next victims. While driving home, the power steering on the Warrens' car failed, stalling the engine repeatedly. Ed decides it's best to stay off the highway, just in case Annabelle tries to cause an accident.
Jesus.
When the young couple reach home, Ed pushes down on the brakes only to realize they ain't working.
She cut the brakes.
He struggled to regain control of the car, eventually skidding to a stop outside their house. It isn't long before the Warrens realize they may have bitten off more than they can chew. Within days, Ed claims that he saw the doll hovering in midair.
Oh my God.
The only way that they can stop Annabelle from allegedly acting up is by dousing her with holy water. But after weeks of paranormal activity, even the holy water starts to wear off. Eventually, things got so bad that Ed and Lorraine had to call another priest in just to come back and smack it around a bit.
Yeah.
The priest examined the doll and luckily had some good news. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Warren, it may very well be a demon, but I don't believe it can hurt you. After all, it is a doll. Why, it couldn't even strangle you with those little hands.
Yeah, tell that to my mechanic who's fixing the cup brakes right now, motherfucker.
I believe it's nothing more than a nuisance. I think you'll find if you ignore it, everything will be fine. Just minutes after dismissing the doll, the priest crashed his car. He didn't die, but he was pretty messed up.
Wow.
if this little fucker is attacking priests, it surely has no limits. The Warrens have to make sure that this doll can't possibly hurt anyone again. So they construct a large wooden cabinet with a glass door and seal Annabelle inside. Once completed, Lorraine stuck a note on the front of the case that read, "Warning, positively do not open."
You mentioned this was at the start of their kind of career, or towards the start. Mm-hmm. This kind of makes sense. They hadn't maybe quite worked out their paranormal archiving standards.
Yes.
You know, this isn't, they haven't quite worked out the Indiana Jones style warehouse where they kind of lock you in a wooden box.
It's true.
And put you in the middle of a warehouse.
Some people might know now that the Warrens are actually kind of famous for their paranormal exhibition. Now, they have a lot of artifacts, including Annabelle the doll, still on display, sealed away in glass cases, along with a huge collection of other incredibly paranormal artifacts, which we will go on to talk about in just a second at the end of this podcast. But you're right, this could have very well been one of the first to kick off the collection.
It's like in Transformers, you know, the first time they probably stopped Megatron, they probably just like gave him a slap on the wrist and they were like, "Naughty boy, don't do that.
Don't do that again. Yeah.
And then, you know, he destroyed a planet or whatever.
Sure.
You know, some f***ed up Transformer stuff. And they were like, "All right, I'm being serious this time. I'm being serious.
Oh, Megatron.
Don't do it. Like, we'll put you in jail next time. Like, don't do it, bro." And then by the end, they put concrete on his feet and they dropped him to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. Like I said.
Yeah.
Taking no chances. Next time, if he comes back from that shit, they're ejecting him into the sun.
That's kind of maybe where we're at with this little doll.
Yeah.
We tried slapping it on the wrist. We tried the holy water. We tried all of this. It cut the brakes to a priest's car. It needs to be punished severely. I assume this is, being the owner of a paranormal object like this is sort of like being a parent. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to learn to discipline a child in a way that warrants the proper response, you know?
Yeah.
If they stay up past their bedtime, now you have to go to bed earlier the next day. I don't know. That sounds
not at all
poetically right. If you don't eat your vegetables one day, now you got to eat twice as many vegetables the next day. That makes sense.
You don't have children. This is terrible parenting.
If your child cuts the brakes to a priest's car.
Yo, you bet he's going to the naughty corner. He's sitting on the naughty step.
There ain't enough vegetables in the world to fix that kid. I don't know what you do, but it's got to be pretty dramatic.
Yeah, there's no Fortnite for a month at that point.
yeah, what can you do and say?
We need the paranormal doll version of juvenile detention. It's like, you deserve to go to prison forever,
right?
But legally we kind of can't, so we need to do a little halfway measure.
Yeah. You'll just go to a little prison, which I guess is kind of what the Warrens collection is.
Yeah.
Little prison for paranormal artifacts. And as we said, this is where the doll sits to this very day inside the Warrens Museum of the Occult. It's been open to the public for many, many years now. And some visitors say that they can see Annabelle moving around the case, trying to break free. Because the Warrens weren't able to get rid of the demon, they've just settled for trapping it inside of this glass case. There are claims that she's taken lives since moving to the Warrens Museum. For example, a visiting motorcyclist had to be removed by stewards when they caught him taunting the doll and banging on the glass. Allegedly, the same rider crashed his bike on the way home from the museum and died.
Hard to say if he was just mentally unstable and
or
unfit
drunk
to be riding a motorbike. Yeah.
Yeah.
But interesting nonetheless, yes.
One cool thing is that Annabelle isn't the only doll on display at the Warrens' place. In fact, you can look up a full list of some of the creepiest artifacts that they have on display. And there's like 10 different dolls that they have.
There's a Stretch Armstrong that strangled a dude once.
Stretch Armstrong's already pretty paranormal. Because he's already stretching more than a doll should. Kid, I've got a little list here of some of the dolls on display I thought you could take a look at.
Do I get to see the doll?
Annabelle?
Yes.
No.
Why?
I didn't include any pictures. I'll get you a picture.
Do you understand the kind of grilling? Roth pulled out his phone. He's ditched the iPad, which is where all the evidence is.
Bill.
And he's pulled out his phone. And he's like, oh, I guess if you want to see this thing.
That interesting? I mean,
Rory would be roasting my ass over an open fire if we'd got to the end of an episode and I didn't show him any evidence.
Okay, here you go. Here's the doll. Jesus Christ, it's f***ing huge.
You've never seen it? What?
Imagine I'm like, oh shit, this thing's crazy.
We should have looked at this earlier.
Damn, look at that thing.
You really hadn't seen it before?
No, I've never
For
seen
it. For f***'s sake. What are we doing here?
I'd seen pictures of Raggedy Ann dolls. I didn't realize that it was so large.
You're like, who's the old broad next to her? That's Lorraine Warren. That's a very respected paranormal researcher. Yeah, they're giant. Yeah, they're quite big.
They're like half the size of a human body.
Yeah, it must be
way too big.
Pretty heavy, yeah.
Because in my head, I thought like a foot tall, like a little doll, you know?
Yeah, totally. No, it is. It's bloody big.
They should have called the police on this thing. It's the size of a child.
I kind of want one for Cora now. It's quite like, it is creepy.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's got kind of old-time Victorian clothing, but it is kind of cute looking as well.
It looks like an Animal Crossing villager.
Yeah, exactly.
Got those big eyes.
Really does. Even like the little nose. Yeah.
Yeah. I did actually look online because I thought maybe we could buy one for the office and have it like on the podcast. Now that we did the Furbies episode, it's fun to like buy some silly props to have, see if we could maybe turn it evil. And you can still get them. I don't know if they're in production anymore, but they have vintage ones for sale on eBay and everything. So maybe for a bonus episode or an after party, we'll get an Annabelle, slap it around a little bit, dunk its head in water, see if we can provoke some spirits to come inhabit the doll, you know?
I don't know after this story if I feel comfortable slapping around Annabelle.
Dude, the craziest thing is, I mean, so this is a picture of the doll, I assume, in the Warren's Museum. That's a real thing. That's a real child. Look at it.
The spirit is very much still locked inside the doll.
The case is not big enough for the doll. It looks like it's grown.
I think it is. What is creepy about it is like, despite the features being completely blank and mask-like, the actual proportions does look, it looks like a child inside a suit.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
I definitely should have looked at a picture of this before I did the case and show one of the kids, because this changes everything. Like, no wonder an evil spirit decided to possess this doll. It is literally the size of a child. Well, as I said, there are some other dolls on display in the museum.
Are you going to show me another evidence or anything? Or
I have pictures of these dolls, yeah.
No, of the story, not the other dolls.
So the first doll
all the paranormal
is,
shit that Annabelle did.
First doll is called
any blood or
the shadow doll.
Right. The notes. She wrote notes, handwritten notes.
They were erased or got rid of something.
Okay. Even a testimony from.
So the shadow doll is covered in black feathers. And according to Ed Warren, this doll can visit you in your dreams. So I know we were
anything at all from Donna.
Just we've got a few to get through here, so it's like if we could just focus up here.
Yeah, of course.
The dream doll.
Focus on the f***ing bird doll, whatever the f*** you said.
The shadow doll.
Okay, covered in feathers.
It is covered in feathers, and look, you can say what you want about Annabelle and the strangling and the scratching, but she didn't f*** with your dreams.
Right.
So
yeah,
she was kind of chill that way.
Showed respect.
She's like, I'll make your life a nightmare, so I'll at least keep your dreams pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So this is a picture of the shadow doll.
Kill that. Kill it. That's, what am I looking at? This is an ancient goblin. It's not a doll. A doll makes it sound like there's something fun about it. It's a toy.
Yeah.
This is an ancient goblin.
At no point.
A goblin druid.
At no point was this, could it ever have been designed to be a child's toy?
It's a mummified goblin.
It has a horrible face, a weird little crooked nose, and just one witch's hand. Yeah, I don't know where this came from.
If Yoda was a Sith Lord, that's kind of what that looks like.
It looks like if you cooked Yoda in the oven. Next up is the dark magic doll. It hangs in a glass container, and it apparently, this one is like a voodoo doll. You create an image similar to the person in question and hang the doll in an effort to make the person sick or die.
Okay, I just feel like we already care a lot. We're already pretty emotionally invested in the Annabelle story. I don't know if we need to like necessarily know about the other dolls.
This is the dark. This is the dark magic doll. Here's a picture I'm showing Kit right now.
I mean, granted, it is kind of astonishing how creepy these dolls are. I've truly never seen anything like it. But
yeah, because it's pretty remarkable. Because if someone says to you like, "Okay, this is a cursed doll,"
how bad could a doll be?
Yeah, you're like, "Okay, so cursed doll, I guess." He has like a weird smile, like a little cheeky grin, or maybe one eye is wonky. This doll is being hung by its neck.
Yeah, permanently.
Its face is ice white.
Yeah.
It's terrifying looking.
Yeah, it looks like human despair locked inside a little... I can see that the list keeps going, by the way. There's more dolls.
There's a lot
on
more dolls,
list.
Yeah.
Why? We already care so much about Annabelle.
They also have a clown doll and some African fertility dolls.
We know there what dolls go. Are. Like these, we're just listing dolls. Has that clown doll done anything? ladies and gentlemen, Rory is just presenting me with a JPEG of a doll that is a clown. And above it just says clown doll.
Look into the eyes of that clown doll. Yeah, I think it's done something. It's clearly done something to end up in this fucking museum of evil. Look at its eyes.
I mean, even the fertility dolls. By the sheer fact that they're called fertility dolls, we know why they were made. They were made because of like beliefs to do with religion and fertility. They weren't cursed.
That's what those are for? I thought something else. Okay.
What did you think they were
for? No, that's fine. So, moving on.
What did you think they were for?
I thought... No, it doesn't matter.
We can cut it. We can cut it afterwards.
I feel like if I say it, even if we do cut it, it'll change kind of the trajectory of the podcast. Sex dolls. I thought you could...
They're wooden and
have
so tiny.
Sex with the dolls.
They're so tiny and
so
wooden.
You're telling me... The fertility dolls that I ordered. They're this. They're not.
Yeah, you wanted what, a real doll?
No, I just wanted it was for an episode. It was gonna be for an episode. It was gonna be for an experiment I was doing. Or not an experiment.
Experiment. That's not an episode. Episodes of this Paranormal Life aren't experiments that Rory is doing in his bedroom. That's not normally we present a case.
Look, if you couldn't tell, things didn't go very well with Crystal at Christmas time, all right? I didn't see any action. I didn't get lucky. I'm a little inexperienced, and I thought maybe if I bought one of these little sex dolls...
They're not sex, yes. They're so fertility, at least, ancient fertility dolls.
And what do they do, the ancient fertility dolls?
The f***ed up thing is, you joke, but I'm pretty sure those are also called fetishes.
What?
Little, like...
I found this on the web.
No, don't find for that on the web. We found this in your Google search history. Whoa, no, Siri, shut up. those little things are called fetishes?
Yeah, like little dolls and objects and stuff like that. I only realized that when I went to like the British Museum not that long ago.
That's confusing.
Yeah, I'm looking up the dictionary. Here's a PSA. Fetish, meaning one, a form of sexual desire, meaning two, an inanimate object worshipped for magical powers.
That's incredibly misleading. Those are two very different things.
And yet we brought them together here with these little dolls.
Wait a minute. So it doesn't even have to do with sex?
Nothing to do with it, no.
That's wild.
Yeah, because I was in the museum and they had got like a little fucking, imagine it was a little like wooden tiger or something. And they'd be like, yeah, here's like an ancient East African fetish.
You're like, people used to bang this thing? This made dudes horny?
Yeah, people were horny for tigers. This is f***ed, bro. Yes, yeah, there you go. The English language, mysterious.
This is us in the British Museum. The guide is just like, and as you can see over here, we also have some ancient fertility dolls. Any questions? My hand just goes straight up.
Put your hand back down. You've said quite enough on today's
turn. Where do you put your c***? All right. Well, that just about rounds up our story today into the investigation of Annabelle, the real cursed doll. Kit, I know this is a bit of a weird one today. It's more of a retelling of a story. But the strangest part about it is, while the case, yes, look, it's very silly. It's a cursed doll that's running around a house. biting people and scratching people. Paranormal investigators, like the Warrens, take this shit extremely seriously, to the point where it is one of the most famous objects in their museum of the occult. You know, this isn't just some Reddit story about Furbies talking when the batteries are out. This is one of the most famous paranormal stories involving a possessed object.
Yeah, you're right. The Ed and Lorraine Warren take it super seriously. And I would ask that Rory takes me seriously.
Which I do.
Because we've sat here
have.
For 1 hour and you've told me a fairy tale about a dolly.
It's a quite a big doll, quite a large doll. I wouldn't say dolly.
That you had never even seen until 60 seconds ago when I asked what it looked like.
Well, don't keep saying that, because I am going to cut that moment from the podcast because it makes me look like I'm a bad investigator. So I was obviously so wrapped up in this story, getting all the little details right, getting all the little moments, that I forgot to look at the doll. Yeah, sure. Sue me. You know?
I forgot to do the bare minimum amount of research that it takes to talk about this subject. I know that this is tough because, sure, I am shocked and appalled and galled.
All I'm going to say is sometimes the president of the United States is so busy fighting terrorists and eating apple pies that he just sometimes misses the 4th of July because he's so busy being the president and getting shit done that he misses the basic stuff, all right?
Ironically, that is absolutely true of Joseph Biden. He
forgets a lot of things.
He forgets a lot of shit. Sometimes forgets how to pronounce his own name. But look, despite there being absolutely no evidence aside from eyewitness testimony, of which there is quite a lot, as you say, people do take it seriously. A number of people in this case have taken it seriously.
Yeah, very famous paranormal investigators.
People that make a lot of money off taking it seriously, that literally charge people to see Annabelle in a glass case.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, really fun, and I don't hate on them for doing, but, you know, it is something we talk about in TPL, is people, you know, the Warrens, you know, that's their business, is making a kind of traveling freak show of all these paranormal artifacts, which is kind of interesting and worth talking about.
Yeah. No, you make a really good point. It's the question we always have to come up against at the end of the podcast, which is there any financial gain to be had by the individuals in the story for saying that this did happen, or even dramatizing certain events? And for the Warrens, absolutely. Maybe not for Donna and Angie.
No.
They didn't seem to get much out of it. Doesn't seem like they sold a book or even wanted to be involved anymore in this case. So that's a little bit more of a strange one to wrap up, but you're right. You're right. It makes sense that the Warrens would say that this is truly the most cursed evil doll in existence, because they want people to come look at the Museum of the Occult.
And the story, these stories, you know, self-perpetuate, because even this episode we're hosting right now, this is going to send people to their museum.
Probably.
They are going to make cash dollar bucks off of this, of us just talking about it right now. So it kind of tells you something.
Yeah.
But Rory, you are the lead investigator. What do you think?
I think it's a great story. I think it's really fun. It's cool to look into this case that inspired the movie, even though I haven't seen the movie. I've heard it's very good and very cool. We're basically talking about one of the original cursed dolls.
Yeah, actually, the movie, I feel like I've seen all the other Conjuring movies. I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, but with the nun.
I like them. They're good fun.
Yeah, they're a blast. If you like horror movies, definitely go check them out. But I think if we're going to take this case seriously today, there is just not enough evidence to prove that this doll really is cursed or possessed. This all took place in the 70s. There's video cameras, home video cameras.
Mm.
They'd be hard to come by, maybe a little expensive, but there is no reason why there shouldn't be more evidence of this doll and its paranormal
because
activity.
By all accounts, she was breakdancing in the living room every
She had fat moves and
seconds.
Street dance grooves. Yeah. Yeah, she really did.
It wasn't a once when the full moon comes out, she might wiggle. She was
bleeding.
Running around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ed Warren said at one point she was levitating in the air.
Hey, even the Bigfoot crowd, even they've got some shaky photographs to show us.
It's true. So from me this week, it's going to be a no.
It's a no.
Damn. Well, thank you so much for sending in that suggestion. And thank you to Amy Grisdell for researching this case and Philip Shacklady for editing. Let us know if you ever had a Raggedy Ann doll, or you have any of your own cursed objects. Or alternatively, if you have any paranormal stories you want us to investigate, email them in to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. Folks, if you love This Paranormal Life, the place to go is patreon.com/thisparanormallife. Because over there, that's where you can get some amazing, cool bonus content. We're talking about extra weekly episodes, extra monthly episodes.
Is it even that good, though?
Let's maybe try and like sell it in a positive light, because it's how we actually can pay for our office.
Do it if you want.
Please want to do it, though.
You know, sometimes it's just good to like shake things up. And I think like we've been doing this for a really long time.
All fair, it is good.
So I'm just like,
not while we're recording.
If every week we're like, check out Patreon, what if 1 week we're like, don't check out Patreon?
How about this week we give you guys money? Just to fucking flip the script. What if I wear a shoe on my head?
This was the
If I eat water?
To be fair, I guess you're right, because I do want to shake things up. But to be fair, the after parties have been excellent recently.
They've been fantastic. They've been so good. The after parties, if you don't know, is the behind the scenes weekly episode that goes out where Kit and I fill you in on everything in the TPL world. And in fact, just to give you a little taste of what those after parties are like, why not play a clip right now from one of our recent episodes? Did you ever see, when you were growing up, did you ever see a little animated movie called The Prince of Egypt?
Sure.
I saw that movie when I was way too young, because I think my parents were like, hey, the kids are going to love this. Let's go watch the Prince of f***ing Egypt. It's a Bible cartoon.
Probably didn't swear.
She probably didn't. There's wrath. The wrath of the Lord comes in, kind of in that last quarter. And it's brutal. Because some of it is the fun shit where it's like, hey, we're going to make a bunch of frogs come and locusts are going to eat all your crops. Yes. Ahoy, ahoy. And then at the end he goes, I'm going to kill your kids.
He kills a bunch of kids.
Yeah. I'm going to kill the children.
Yeah.
Unless you mark your door with goat blood, I'm going to kill your kids.
Which is such a messed up loophole. Like, why create a loophole at all?
Yeah,
I don't really understand,
because there was probably a bunch of wild theories going around where some dude's probably like, I heard if you drink milk before bed he will save you.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, I was like, I don't know, I'm gonna trust Moses because he's kind of the one that's...
I wasn't really listening when God was talking, and so I'm just gonna kind of improvise and hopefully he'll see that I'm trying kind of hard.
It's also kind of a fucked up way to teach a lesson, because the one people who didn't do anything was the kids.
They are the innocent.
They were the few without sin, presumably. Yeah. So, you know, far be it from me to question his ways. I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to do that. Is
not,
that cool?
Not me questioning. Not just, me questioning the Lord.
Just thinking about it.
But needless to say, little tyke Rory, little nugget Rory, had a few questions for Mama Powers in the back of the car on the way home.
Yeah, I think she thought we were kind of be going home being like, well, Rory,
he truly is great, isn't he?
Isn't he powerful? And I'm like, yeah, that's one way to word it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do we have any paint at home, though? Because just to be on the safe side, I know it's been a couple thousand years since he pulled that little trick, but I just want to really make sure.
Let's just kill a couple lambs to be sure. There you go. If you
know what, it's fucking great.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
We've got incredible raffles every month. We've got bonus episodes every single month, and those after parties every damn week. It really is.
And how much does it cost, Kit?
As little as $5 bucks.
F*** off. That's insane. That's such little money. In this economy with inflation, $5, that's crazy. It's been like that for years. So technically we've lost money every single year because... with inflation,
we
haven't upped the price in a really long time. So it's...
Someone actually said this the other day, right? Because here in the UK, the Patreon is, it works out like, I don't know, like thanks to Liz Truss, it works out like £4.50 or something. I don't know.
Right.
And I heard someone say this at a comedy show the other day that I paid a fiver in, and they were like, hey, fun fact, they've been doing the comedy show for as long as we've been doing the podcast. They were like, we started this like years ago. When we started this show, £5 used to get you 6 tins of beans. Now only gets you 3 tins of beans. Think about that.
Wow. Thanks for listening this week, everyone. I really don't know what to do with that information. I thought there was going to be more of a point there, but It's just beans. We get less beans.
I'm making your point, which is that okay, yeah. Which is the prices stayed the same, but you get way more for your money.
Yeah, I think I kind of said, I don't know why we needed the bean analogy to kind of hammer that home. I was kind of like, I think I'd kind of said exactly what, yeah, that was kind of done.
All right, all right.
You know, it's really f***ed up.
Go to the podcast.
If you had once bought 10 cans of beans and then now spent the same amount of money on the same amount of beans, it'd be way more money because the price of beans.
I so regret making this analogy to an American audience because they're like, those f***ers really are obsessed with beans. Yeah. Why do they love beans so much?
You're like, all right, sorry, this isn't working. Let me try a new analogy. So imagine if one bean was a pound and you had 100 beans in your wallet.
Did you see the giant bean, by the way?
Yeah, the big bean.
We'll get into this in the after party probably, but someone made a giant bean.
Yeah, it was a Heinz baked bean. And it was
the
just
size of a fucking dinner plate.
It's the tin that had one bean in it and just the bean juice, which is so fucking nasty. Can you imagine just knife and fork tucking into a bean? One huge bean? Oh, it's disgusting. Check out the Patreon. You're going to love
it. Patreon.com/thisparanormallife.
And one other thing that we do, one other tier we have on Patreon is the shout out tier, where at the end of the episode, you get your name shouted out at the end of the podcast. And that's what we're going to do right now.
Thanks so much to Paige Kolakowski.
Paige Vrikolakowski, a vampire, a Greek vampire who listens to our podcast. That is fantastic. Well, hey, speaking of beans, if you're out doing a little harvest there, bud, why don't you pick us up a couple for the commune? We are running low on supplies and food and medicine and water. So anything you can harvest would be great.
Even a fucking twig at this point, Paige. Thank you to Mark and Max Wallace. Mark and Max, or as I like to call them, M&M.
Ooh.
Because they can spit.
They can rap?
No, they can spit really far. They can't rap for shit. I saw them try one time. It was embarrassing. But no, they can spit really far.
Right. And it's like spitting an M&M out of their mouth. So that's why we call them that. It's nothing to do with the rapper at all.
Thanks also to Amir Polat.
You know, I see a lot of myself in Amir.
What, like?
It's a joke.
Huh?
I see a lot of myself in a mirror.
So, like, do you mean... What are you getting at?
I see a lot of myself in a mirror.
Dude, stop saying the same... Do you know how the podcast works? You can't just keep saying the same thing over and over and over. Amir, this is like bad podcast. Come on, we need to go...
Like...
Amir. Yeah, I know. Amir Polat. Thank you, Amir, for f***ing being a patron. Like, say something else.
I see a lot of myself in him. A mirror. Like, it's a mirror.
Are you hard of hearing, bro? I'm going to have to cut all of this.
Just move on. It's...
Thanks also to Luke Coet. Luke, get your coet. Because you've pulled a giant bean.
What?
Out of a can. You've won the only... You have been drawn in the commune raffle to eat the only bean we have.
Right. And it's not a novelty-sized bean. It's a regular-sized bean. It was all we had from the harvest. The crops went bad. So you get the bean this week. Congratulations. Thank you to everyone that supports us on Patreon. Honestly, we couldn't do it without your support. So if you want some extra bonus content and some really cool goodies, head on over to patreon.com/thisparanormallife. Guys, we love you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this week's episode. Any farewell messages, Kit, to the commune before we go?
No, like, pressure about the whole Patreon thing. I'm honestly 50-50 about it, even after that
clip. We need to put on the pressure to go.
Check it out, or
yeah.
There's lots of great Patreons out there as well, and, like, not just ours. So.
We're broke. Yeah. We're broke, so we need to make sure that we do have people coming, yeah.
Oh. All right, I need to walk back a lot of what I said then.
Yeah.
Really? We're like... We don't have a lot of cash?
Nothing. We got nothing left. I couldn't afford...
Why'd you let me say all that shit?
I actually decided not to buy the Raggedy Ann doll for the podcast. We couldn't. My card bounced.
You're not wearing shoes. I only just noticed.
I had to sell them. Sorry, we're getting... Again, anyway, thank you for listening. We do need to talk financials.
Patreon, though.
Head on over to patreon.com/thisparanormallife and help me get another
pair
of
shoes. Yeah, no, we can't make it sad. Make it fun, though.
My feet hurt.
There's lots of fun. No.
My feet are bleeding.
No, they're not
I need shoes.
No,
Socks optional.
Rory has nice shoes. He's great shoes. We're doing great. But also, help us.
See you next week, folks.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.